We left off enough Ein Zayin and Aleph, just a couple of lines before the end of the parak. So let's pick it up on the first little line. It's Verabbanan. It's about 10 lines or so from the end of the parak. It's the end of the line. Ten Rabbanan. We looked at a brisa. The Achar Shavua Shana. Going back to some of the conditional gittin. First, he gives a get on the condition that he's not going to return, but he gives a time limit to what that means. So he says that he says, if I don't return after the Shemitah year, Shavua means that it doesn't mean a week, it means a whole series of 7 years, Shemitah cycle. So he says, if I don't return after the Shemitah cycle, what does that mean? It doesn't return when? What's the time frame? So we assume Shana, that the year after the Shemitah, that's considered to be what we call after the Shemitah. Here's a question of Lashon B'nei Adam. So much of this depends upon what the person verbalized, what the person say. So when a person uses the phrase, after Shemitah doesn't mean in 30 years after Shemitah, it means the year following the Shemitah year. Well, the Achashana, when he makes a condition that the get should only be valid if he doesn't return after the year. After the year, how long? So that means a Chodesh, a month after the year is still considered to be after the year. The Achachodesh Shabbos. If he makes a condition that he won't be back after the month, so we give a week, a couple of days after the month, that's still considered to be within the time frame. The Achash Shabbos, whenever a person makes a condition that he's giving the get on the condition that he doesn't return after Shabbos. What's called after Shabbos? After Shabbos can mean Motzoi Shabbos, can mean Saturday night. After Shabbos can mean Sunday. After Shabbos can mean the whole week. After Shabbos can mean part of the week. So how long? So here's where the Gemara has the famous statement that Yossi Rabbi Zeira Kameid Rabbi Yitzi, but Amila Rabbi Asi Kameid Rabbi Yochanan. So there are different versions as to who said this. But the one version, Rabbi Zeira was sitting in front of Rabbi Asi and saying it. But the other version, Rabbi Asi was saying it in front of Rabbi Yochanan. But whoever said it made the following statement. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are considered to be after the previous Shabbos. So if a person gave a get on the condition that he doesn't return after Shabbos, and he comes back Monday morning, that's still called after Shabbos. Above a Chamisha Mali Shabbat, whereas Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that's considered to be Kami Shabbat. That's considered to be part of the next week. So that became a very, very famous halach, that demarcation until Tuesday night. The reason why it became a famous demarcation is probably very little to do with Hilchos Gittin. Most people didn't learn this sugya tucked away enough Ayin Zayin, but the Gemara in Pesachim borrows this and quotes this and says, the same way that Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are considered to be after Shabbos for Gittin, so too for the mitzvah of Havdalah. And if a person forgot to make Havdalah, let's say Shabbos, he could still make Havdalah Sunday night, Monday night, till Tuesday, till Shkia, he could still recite Havdalah. By Wednesday morning, it's a little bit too late for those, right at the beginning of the next countdown to Shabbos. So that's why this halacha became famous. There is a very important question about how do you understand that. But we say that the halacha is a person can make Havdalah Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Does that mean that the real zman of Havdalah is Saturday night, after Shabbos is over? Everything else is like a makeup, like a tashlumen of Havdalah. Or no, that's equal mitzvah. If you make Havdalah Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's the same as making it on Saturday night. What's the difference? If a person is exempt from Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, let's say a person is an Onay or it's Tisha B'Av, there are reasons why he can't make Havdalah Motzei Shabbos. Would he still make Havdalah later in the week? So we follow you. Our minhag is a Tisha B'Av. If Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday, we make Havdalah on the Sunday night because we hold until Tuesday night, it's equal footing, you can still make Havdalah. So that whole halacha of Havdalah will stem from this din about the Sunday, Monday, and the Tuesday. Then the Gemara continues, Tanya Rebbe Omer. Rebbe said in the Braisa, La'acha HaRegel. How much is called after Yontif? We very very often we have this phrase. Somebody asks you to do something. After, I can't take it now. After Yontif. I didn't say which Yontif. I'm talking about next, 6 years from now. After Yontif. The good point of living your life in the after Yontif model is because there's always the after Yontif. You have to pay so with Shavuos. After Shavuos is ready to Rosh Hashanah. So you can always keep on the procrastinating until after Yontif. So Rebbe asks in a more serious note, what's called the Achar Regel? How much time a person makes a condition that he's going to give a get on the condition that he doesn't come back after Yontif? How much is that? Shloshim Yom. So Rebbe says for 30 days, that's considered to be after Yontif. He didn't say he can make a Havdalah for 30 days. I said for a person with Gittin, that's called the after Yontif. Nothing Rebbe Chia, Darsh Mishmei the Rebbe, the Kalsua. So Rebbe Chia, who was a student of Rebbe, went out and he darshan this. He said he publicized this psak of his of Rabbi Danossi, and he said it in the name of Rabbi Danossi, the Kalsua. And then people said, good, very good. They were happy that Rabbi Danossi said it, very good. Mishmei the Rabbim. Then later, he said it over the name of a majority of Chacham. He said it over that this was the accepted view, that everybody else subscribed to this view, below Kalsua. And then the other three of Chacham didn't accept it, because they didn't think it was right. When Kolzbah, that he said it as an individual, as minority view, they said, all right, very nice. You don't know the Tartar's opinion, but we don't necessarily find that to be the halacha. Whereas the minute the Rabbi Chiya started to say it over in terms of the majority, then all the other Tamil Chacham said, no, not so simple. So from the fact that the other Chachamim did not accept it, that shows that in fact it is not accepted la halacha. So as great as Rabbi Danossi was, as great as Rabbi Chiya was, the majority of the Chacham did not accept that view, and therefore that view was not accepted la halacha. So we're not quite sure what the cutoff point for a get after Yontif is, but at least a get after Shabbos, we know it's for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Right. Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva where he raises the question, what's the name of a person who forgets to make Abdullah B'tzoy Yontif? What is the halacha? Until when can you still make Abdullah if you forgot to make Abdullah B'tzoy Yontif? Only until the next morning, maybe the next day, halfway to the next Yontif, it's hard to know. So we're not sure where the cover point is in terms of the Yontif, because the Gemara leaves us hanging over here, never concludes.
This Sunday does not follow a lot of the Yontif. All the others, one unit time less. Instead of cycle of Shemitah, you had a year. Instead of a year, you had a month. Instead of a month, you had a week. So when you said,
you would have thought a week would be a day. Right. I guess it could be because of Shabbos, because all the other times don't have that main point of Shabbos. Here, everything is grounded, everything is rooted in Shabbos. So we almost like a Jew's life is all either before Shabbos or after Shabbos. We can't envision a time where it's not connected, not related to one of the two Shabbos around. It's always Shabbos the ground. Maybe that's the Shabbos. And we know psychologically that's the case, that we're constantly thinking, either about the last Shabbos or towards the next Shabbos. Remember Rabbi Govich, that's on the Shiva, Kevin Rameh Govich's uncle. So remember he once told us that he saw a bocher in yeshiva like late Tuesday afternoon, walking with his knapsack and carrying a suit bag, and he didn't know where he's going. So he said to me, "Slicha, ata chozer mishabbat or yotzei shabbat? You're coming back from Les Shabbos late, or you're going back to?" He knew he wasn't coming to yeshiva. He said, "Are you before Shabbos or after Shabbos?" So that's what we assume Shabbos is the goalpost for the entire week. Okay, so hadulach mishachzal, a new parak. So hazorek get leishto. If a person throws a get to his wife, so the Torah says we're not to be other. He's supposed to put the get into her hand. So he doesn't quite throw it into, he doesn't quite place it into her hand. He tosses it to her. He besoch besa, and she's sitting in her house. The Gemara's going to speak about in a moment how exactly does she own property. The Gemara's going to address that issue. But assuming that she owns the house, or she's sitting in her backyard, so the get is valid, even though she never touched the get. So here the Mishnah is referring to the din that Gemara is going to elaborate upon. It's called the Kinyan Chotzer. The halacha is that if I give you something, instead of placing it into your hand, I place it into your property. Say, I want to give you this bottle of water as a gift. I don't have to give it to you. I can go into your backyard and place it down. And now whatever's in your Chotzer, so your Kona, so too in a get, whatever's in her Chotzer, whatever is in her house, in her property, she is Kona, and therefore the get would be valid. Zonkola Besoch Beisho. What if she's sitting there and he throws a get, but she's not in her house, she's in his house, or she's sitting in his backyard, he throws something at her and they're literally next to each other, they're literally sitting in the same bed together, doesn't matter. Either the get has to arrive in her hand or it has to arrive in her property. The fact that she's in proximity to the get is irrelevant at this point. What if he throws a get literally into her body? So she's sitting in his house, but he throws it into her lap, or he throws it into kalasa. Kalasa is a basket that she would be walking around either on her head or on her neck. If she has a basket, she was carrying little things in. So we assume that the area of her lap or the area of her basket, that area is hers, and therefore the get would be valid. So again, the different examples that she's giving, but the punchline is, anything, any property that belongs to him, the get would not be valid unless she literally has it in her hand, but also be other. Any property that belongs to her, the get would be valid even without it going to her hand. it doesn't make a difference.
This is a strange question. Because Zohar, making people pay for airplane or throwing shoulder to There's nothing to that language.
There are two prachim with Shastra called the Zurich. There are two prachim with the same name. Very rarely you have a couple of prachim here and there that have the same name. So it's a prachim of Zurich and Masechah Shabbos. It's talking about carrying on Shabbos. You got to throw something, and you're talking about throwing again. So you have to be careful which prachim of Zurich you're learning. So comes the Gemara and says, Benani Mili. How do we know we need this? If you open up a Chumash, the Torah says, Benasim Miyadi. You have to put the get into our hands. So how do we know this concept of a Chotzer? The Torah order, we learned in a Braisa. The Torah says you put the get into our hand. So I know that you can put it into our hand. Gaga, chatzer, v'kafifa minayim. How do you know that you can put it into her roof? She owns a house. You put it onto the roof of the house. Or chatzer into our backyard. Or karfifa. A karfif is like a storehouse. Like they used to have these little areas in the outsides. They would keep wood stored there, firewood stored, other things stored there. So that's a karfif. Karfif is a very, very famous term in Hilchas Erevin. It comes up a lot. So you put the get into something that's her shed, her roof. And how do you know the get is also valid? So here the Torah Shemapeh explains to us that since the Torah introduces the sugya of get by saying v'nasan, the other is almost like an afterthought. That the basic halach is v'nasan. He has to give it to her. So v'nasan. It doesn't say immediately where he puts it. So if the Torah would have meant to emphasize it has to be dafka physically in her hand with the five fingers, it would have said uviyada yitimena. But the fact that it says v'nasa is a riboy, that even other things are acceptable as well. That the Gemara is going to explain later on. But why does the Torah say v'yada? You don't really need v'yada. That's to teach us some other things. But the basic halach is it has to be an asina lal or shusal chatzera. It doesn't have to literally be v'yada. Rashi and Chumash and Rashi Chukas points out that sometimes even in Tanakh, the word yad doesn't always mean a hand. The word yad sometimes means possession. The pasuk says in Lucas, "Vaykach es kol hatzom biyado." Says by one of the wars that Moshe Rabbeinu had. So it said he took all the land from his hand. What the melech, the king was walking around with the city in his hand. Vaykach es kol hatzom biyado. Biyado means takas mshalto, under his control, under his domain. So to over here, v'nasa biyada doesn't mean physically a hand, that the Tashma explains to us. It means that the harishos of the domain is also good enough. We have an almost identical derasha in the sugya of a ganav. It says in Bash Mishpatim Yado, it says, "Imimotze sibotze biyado agadeva." So 9 out of 10 times, a guy steals something, he steals with his hand. He breaks into your house, and he takes your animal and walks out with the animal in his hand. So normally it's Sibatzi, Sibatzi, Biyado. So how do you know any other Yado? Gaga b'chatzer b'kafif b'nayim. How do you know that if I steal something from you without actually having it go into my hand? Let's say, Marshall, your animal is walking around and I kind of maneuver the animal into my backyard. Then I lock my back. I stole it. I didn't touch the animal. I didn't put it into my hand. I didn't literally pick it up. How do you know that if I steal something, derech, my I got it to go into my roof. I got it to go into my backyard. I got it to go into my car 59. The similar kind of a drasha, the Torah says, "Himotzei sibotzei." If the item is found with the ganav, then it says, "Himotzei sibotzei biyado hagedev." That kind of as an afterthought, the Torah says the hand. So just as the Torah is de-emphasizing hand, that the focus is on "Himotzei sibotzei," the emphasis is on the nosan. The biyado is almost secondary to the sugya. There's a din of kinyan chotzer when it comes to a ganav, and there's a din of kinyan chotzer when it comes to a get. The Gemara raises the question: Tzricha, do you in fact need both? So the answer is yes. That the reason why the Torah has to repeat this theme, otherwise we could have learned one to another. Generally, the rule in Torah is the Torah gives us a din in area A, so we can extrapolate the area B. We assume that all the dini are all intertwined, interlocked. It's one big puzzle. So therefore, you can jump and learn from one to another. So here, we couldn't have done that. The fact that the Torah has a necessity to give us the same din, apparently the identical din in two places, that is because of tricha. We actually need both. The Iyashmin and get, if I would have only had the din of a kinyan chatzah by a get, I would have thought, mishum debal korcha megarsha, because a get is very, very easy to take effect. Person can literally force the get onto his wife. Not supposed to. And then the days of Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbeinu Gershom was Rashi's Rebbe, Rebbeim's Rebbe, the days of Rabbeinu Gershom, So they made a chayrim. They excommunicated anybody who would force to get onto his wife. It's a terrible thing to force your wife to get divorced. But if he does it, the get is valid. With the rice, the get is good, even be al-korcha. So therefore, I would have thought that when it comes to giving a get, when you see the standards are so relaxed, so easy, you can even give a get be al-korcha. So I would have thought that maybe there the Torah is very relaxed and says, even if it's not in her hand, that's good enough. Of al-ganav, the lazy be al-korcha. But a ganav, you can't have a ganav against you. You can't force a ganav onto the ganav. Either the ganav is willingly stealing it or he's not stealing it. So Emilo, I would think that you require a higher level of kinyan. It has to be a real biyado. Viyashmin in ganav, or maybe if the Torah would have said that there's a sugi of chotze by a ganav, we should be kanzei rechamana. That's because the Torah is penalizing him, because even though he didn't really steal it in the classic way. He didn't actually take the item into his hand. But Lamaisa, he's a pretty bad guy. He's stealing cattle he's a lumber cattle stealer. So the Torah wants to penalize him for doing that. About get, when it comes to a get, we should follow the regular rules. If the Torah says biyada, it's got to be biyada. Same alone, I would have thought that it's not true that a get must be placed into her physical hand, tzricha. The bottom line is it's not true. The bottom line is that all those distinctions are not correct. And halacha lemaisa, kinyan chatzah works both for a ganav as well as for a get. So he asks the Gemara, even though it's true that we have established that there is a sugya of a chatzah being able to acquire the woman to get, the problem is that the facts aren't right. Chatzera, mashar klanza isha konabaila. What do you mean she has a chotzer? What do the words mean? That she owns the courtyard. The general rule is that any property that the woman brings into the marriage, so that property belongs to the husband, or at least it belongs to them vis-a-vis having the rights to eat the fruit. Generally speaking, when a woman brings property into the marriage, let's say she brings sheep into the marriage, although she technically owns the sheep still, the husband has the right of achilas peros. He has the right to eat the fruit of whatever that she produces, so whatever wool, anything else that she produces. Or let's say she brings a field into the marriage. So even though she technically retains ownership of the field, he gets to eat the fruit. It's called the nixei malum. So to over here, since basically the husband is controlling the property, how could that be called her chotzer? So the Gemara says, no, we must come up with a scenario where they entered into an agreement that the husband is not going to have any connection to this. He's going to be out of the picture. So what would that mean? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, the kosev law, he wrote the following document. Din udvarim ainli b'nechsayich. He writes, they're married 20 years, and he writes in the following document, I have nothing to do with your property. Basically, it's mesalik himself. He walks away from her property. So the Gemara says, that's the case. So now she owns the chotzer. So now that the chotzer is hers, he can deposit the get into that chotzer. So yes, the Gemara, no, that's not true. Just because the husband wrote this document 20 years after they got married, saying that he's hereby misalik himself, he hereby removes himself all claims on a property, that doesn't work. The logistics, the mechanics of such a document just are not valid. But Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Let's say I own a property, I own a land, and I write you a document that says that I have no connection to this land anymore. Well, the ainli asik ba, I have no shaykhas to it anymore. Or I write, my hands are removed from this property. Lo amaklum. The Gemara says, those are meaningless statements. If you want to sell the property to somebody, you can do that. You want to give a gift to the property, that you can do. You can't be misselling yourself. You can't just say, I own this bottle of water. I'm removing myself from the bottle of water. The words don't mean anything. There's no legal validity to that statement. So therefore, the Gemara says, we have to change it up a little bit. Yeah, you would have to make a kinyan on that bottle of water. That would be a little bit more complicated. You could be mafkis something. Yeah, that a person can do. But the relationship of being misalik is the duty in hefker misalik yourself. That if you just pull yourself away from it, that's not going to work. So that's what the Gemara said. That losh of the dvar is not gonna do the trick. So what can you do? How can you create a situation where you no longer have rights to the fruit of your wife's property? So Amidu Rabbi Yana, what you can do is as follows. Bekosiv lava oda arusa. Before you actually are before you get these rights, you can remove yourself from getting the rights before you actually receive them. So let's say as follows, the little bit of a timeline. When a person is Mekadish Anisha, So they become married for many, many halachas. She can no longer marry anybody else. If the marriage breaks up, she requires a get, but she's still an arusa. Then at a later point, they can have nisuin. Now, in today's world, we've lumped it all together. There's no halacha that has to be separate. You can separate it by 3 seconds. You can separate it by a long drasha under the chuppah. You can separate it by a year. So that's a purely a custom as to how long the break has to be. But there are 2 stages of marriage, even for us. The kedusha, and then it takes a few minutes till whatever the nisuin is, until the nisuin takes effect. So Rabbi Yannai says that once you mekadesh the isha, you're married, but you don't own the property yet. You don't have any rights to the property. Generally speaking, all the mamonos, all the monetary relationships between husband and wife kick in after the nisuin. So what the person can do is as follows. He could say to her, he could write to her before they're fully married, before the nisuin, he could say, listen, I don't want to get this chus. I'm entitled to this privilege. It's coming to me as soon as we have the suin. We'll go to the chuppah. So now all your property, all the fruit's going to come to me. I don't want that to take effect. So you can get out of something coming to you much easier than removing it once it came already. If they're already married for 20 years, now he wants to walk away from the property, that's much more difficult to do. But he could say that, no, thank you. I don't want to be to have this chus. So that a person can do. Uchid Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana actually taught us that. Dem Rav Kahana. Nachla abolo liadu imakav acher. A Yerusha that a person has from somewhere else. That refers to a husband. That's like a code phrase for saying, it's not a blood relative. It's imakav acher. So your wife is she's a relative, so to speak, but she's not your blood relative. So that kind of a nachla, adu masta alesh lo yirushena. A person can make a condition and say, before he's actually married, in the state of Kedusha, he can say to his wife, listen, if you, it's very, not the most romantic thing to be saying, but he says, listen, if you die in 50 years from now, so I would normally get the Yerusha, let's make a deal that I'm not going to be Yerusha. I won't get that Yerusha. So a person can affect such a condition. How does that work? If it's coming to him, it's coming to him. So how can a person circumvent that law? He's not circumventing anything. What he's doing is as follows. When the Chachamim make a takana, they make an enactment that's supposed to help you. The goal is to make life better for you. If you want to forego that takana, take it today. They're trying to give you a favor. Here, according to the Midas HaDin, you would be Yoresh. You would inherit $100,000. You want to say, you don't want it. Do whatever you want. So for whatever reason, you want to walk away from that chus of the Chachamim, you have a right to do so. That's called Ha'omi Efshi B'Takana Chachamim Kozu Shalom. Mikey goes,
the woman basically say, like, I don't.
Right, but that becomes more problematic. Right. Well, different parts of the ksub itself she can't do because Chazal made a takona that is a heter, a woman can't be without a ksuba. But there are certain conditions that you get. That's exactly what the Gemara gives an example. Mike Yonzu, what would be another example of this? A woman could say to the husband as follows. We're getting married, so under normal circumstances, the marriage brings with it certain financial obligations in both directions. So the husband, first and foremost, has to support his wife. That's halacha. He has to support his wife. On the other hand, Chazal also said that any ma'aseh yadayim and any money, any salary that she brings in is going to go to the husband. So it's usually supposed to be a deal. Now this deal was made primarily to help the woman. It was especially in the days of Chazal, the women generally didn't have any skills, they didn't work, it was hard for them to work, even in business was not so simple. So for a woman, was in a much, much more vulnerable position. So Chazal made it takona that the husband must support the wife. And she's going to provide whatever couple of pennies she makes in salary, she'll bring it to the husband. She's going to win. 99.5% of the time, she's going to win. What if it's not the case? She's doing very well. She's doing very nicely. She has a very, very respectable job, and he's not doing as well. So she turns around to him and says, listen, don't do me any favors. I'll keep my salary. You keep your salary. I'll pay my credit card bills. You pay your credit bills. I'm more than willing to go. So that takana that we make him support her in lieu of the salary, that was made for her benefit. If she wants to forego that, she's allowed to do that. We're not going to force it down her throat. We're trying to help her. All the takonas, all the dinim of ksuba, everything, all besides ksubas was made to help the woman. It wasn't up to help the man. It's to help the woman because she is much more vulnerable. Therefore, we're going to turn the world upside down to make life easier for her and make her financially more secure. If she wants to forego that, she's in a better position. She can do whatever she wants. So that's what you're telling me. Any else that she could say to her husband, don't support me. On the other hand, I'm not going to provide you with the money either. So at this point, again, we had an original question. How could you ever have a case that that a woman is divorced by depositing a get in her property. What do those words mean? In her property. How does she own anything? So the first answer the Gemara gave is, we're dealing with a unique situation where the husband walked away from that property, and we again had to figure out how to do that. Rava gives a different approach. So Rava says, no, Rava Amar, Atu yada milo kanile labal. Rava says, wait a second. The original question was a flawed question. He says, whenever you give a get to your wife, even if you put it into our hand, we have a problem. That the yada isha skiad baila. So whatever's put into the woman's hand also goes to the husband. How can you ever get? So it's a long shikash on the Torah. The Torah says, the nasim biyada. You have to take the get and put it into our hand. So Rava says, but it never happens. It never works. So how does it work? How does the Torah say it works? That obviously the halacha must view that when you put the get into her hand, she acquires her gerushin and she acquires her hand all at the same time. So even though before you put them in, you were the owner, quote unquote, of her hand, the minute that you give it a get, it works. So too, when you put the get into her backyard, it's the same problem. What do you mean it's her backyard? It's your backyard. You're right. But as the get is presented to her, so everything will happen simultaneously. So Rava said that the original question was not a valid question. Obviously, Huchas Gittin trumps that concern because every get is running into such a problem. So the Gemara says, what do you mean every get starts running into that problem?
The field is still ours.
Oh, okay. So the Gemara is going to question the question in a second. The Gemara is going to have a similar question. The Gemara says, Amalei, Ravina Rav Ashi, Rava had the Isha Kakashalei. Rava was bothered with, how in the world can you put a get into your wife's hand? You own her hand. I said, what? Who said you own her hand? He the kanila the baisi adel. What do you mean you own your wife's hand? That means if she makes a couple of dollars, you get the salary. You have the goof of me kanila. You don't own her hand. You can't do whatever you want to her hand. She owns her own hand. So what the words don't make any sense. So you're right. The Gemara says, Amalei, so Rav Ashi explained to him, Rava yada ever kash. We misunderstood Rava's question. Rava said, when you free an Eved Kna'ani, you always have the same problem. There's one opinion in the Masechta Kedushin that says, when you free an Eved Kna'ani, you give him the shtar, you give him his document into his hand. How can you do that? Yad Eved, ki yad rabo damya. That's taka a problem. That's a real problem. That the hand of the Eved is the same as the hand of the master. How can you ever be a shakra and Eved Kna'ani? Elegit of Yad Banki, it must be when the Torah says, there's a parsha, there's a sugya of shikra Eved Kna'ani. It must be what the Torah is saying is that this breaks the rules. So too the chotzer and her hand come together at the same time. So at the end of the day, if she owns the chotzer, even though she doesn't really own it because the husband's using it now, the minute that he gives it to her, it now becomes hers. I'm not sure whether that clarified the question or not. So the bottom line is, the Gemara had two different approaches. How do you solve this dilemma of giving a get into your wife's chotzer? Either you have to give a kenet, a whole chagadja, that you walked away from the property, you wrote a document, but she was in Arusa, the whole story. Or you say, story. You don't need the story. The answer is obvious, that we apply the principle called Gita v'chatzer abonki. We have precedent, not from Gittin, but we have a precedent for that based on Uchaz Avonim. Now, the Gemara is going to go on to tell a very, very strange story about a get that was given, not in a conventional way, it was given through some kind of kinchatz or something, and it ran into a little bit of technical and logistical problems. So we'll hold on for that until the next lesson.
Yeah, it's hard to guess. Okay, take care of you all. Good day. Have a good day. Does that always work? Can I identify the fact that the Chachamim were doing it on my behalf?
If it's true. If it's true. In a moment, it's something.